beginning a new sugya, because we call the official Shas topics. So I'll try to take a small sugya. A small sugya called Kinyanim. I think that should probably take us for a while. I don't know if we're going to have a chance to talk about everything about Kinyanim. But I thought at least today we would start about one particular part of Kinyanim, and that's the notion of Da'as Kinyan, the requirement of having Da'as, of having understanding, of having consent at a time of a Kinyan. So let's begin with more of a Da'as from the vantage point of the Kona, the person who is actually acquiring, then we'll have a chance to move on to other dimensions in terms of Da'as Kinyanim, perhaps Kinyanim in general. So the sugya begins with a statement of Chazal in the fifth parak of Maseches Yevamos, and the Gemara discusses the following question: Ha'oder b'nichsei hager kosav shelohu. If a person comes across nichsei hager means a ger who died without any yorshim. So by definition, his property is going to become hefker, it's going to become ownerless. So first come, first serve. So you have a nichsei hager, you have a karka that belonged to a ger, the ger died, no yorshim. So whoever's going to make a chazaka on the karka first is going to acquire the karka. The regular methods of kinyanim of karka obviously are going to be not applicable to nichsei hefker. Normally, a way to acquire karka is through kesef. Who are you going to give the kesef to? There's nobody to give to. Shtar. Who's going to write the shtar? Hefker, who's going to write the shtar? Chalipin. Who are you going to make a chalipin with? So there are very, very few ways to be kona nichsei hager. The only way to do it is through chazaka. So if a person goes ahead and he starts digging holes and he improves the quality of the ground, so that's considered to be a kinyan chazaka, and that would work with nichsei hager or nichsei hefker. The only problem is, the person who's doing this act of kinyan chazaka isn't even aware of the fact that he's kona the ground. He isn't even aware that this is nichsei hager. He thinks this is his own property. He happens to share a border with a ger, and he doesn't exactly know where the property line is. So he's thinking that he's improving his own karka. He doesn't realize that he's making a das kinyan. He probably would be happy if he knew about it, but Lamai said right now, he's not even aware of the fact that he's doing a kinyan. So, Oidim and Nichse Ager, the person who digs and improves, the Nichse Ager, Chasav Shalohu, he thinks that the land belongs to him, so a low kana, low zacha, so he's not considered to be kana. So, the Mishnah point out, you see from this Gemara that it's critical not only to do a Maisa kinyan, but a person has to do Da'as kinyan. You have to be aware, you have to be cognizant, you have to want to acquire the field. And if not, even though you do the greatest Maisa kinyan, a Maisa kinyan without a Da'as kinyan, from the vantage point of the Kona, is not going to be effective. So the Rishonim have a machlokes as to how far this requirement goes, that the halacha requires a Da'as kinyan, that the Kona has to be aware of what he's doing. So there is a sugya that appears in the first parak of a Metziah. We'll learn the first parak of a Metziah Yeshiva, but I'm not sure we're going to get to it so fast. It's a little bit later on, the first parak of a Metziah, where the Gemara discusses a kinyan derabbanan called kinyan dalat amos. The halacha is that if a person has a dvar metziah, a dvar hefker, sitting on the floor somewhere, and a person stands within dalat amos of that object, so he's kona the object, the kinyan dalat amos. Where did that kinyan dalat amos come from? So the Gemara of the Feirish, it was a takonas hachamim. It was instituted to avoid people from fighting with one another. Because otherwise, these two people find a metziah, so they're going to run after it, like Shai Moksa Batalas, they're going to kill each other in order to get to that lost object. So with the Rabbanan, they were sakin, the kinyan of dalat amos. So the Rishon were very disturbed with that statement of the Gemara of metziah, that kinyan dalat amos was only with the Rabbanan. Because the Gemara has it, like Abi a get. The Mishnah has it. And the end of us, that was Gittin, that if a person gives a get to his wife, so he can either, Venasa be other, he can either put it literally into her hand, or he could put it into her chotzer, into her property, or he could put it within her dalat amos. So if a person's wife is standing out in the street, and he takes a get, and he puts it down within dalat amos of the wife, so the wife is claiming the get, she's zeichet get, and she becomes begureshes. So the Rishonim are bothered, how can that be? If min haTorah, there's no such thing as a kinyan dalat amos, so how is she kind of to get midiraisa? In order to become divorced, she has to become muteris min haTorah. So dalat amos is only midirabbanan, the Gemara is beferish. How does it work for gittin? So that's a big, big problem. So some Rishonim say, in Ochinami, min haTorah daka doesn't work, midirabbanan. And we know that in the realm of gittin and kiddushin, sometimes the chum have certain leeway called the tikkun rabbanan, makadish al das rabbanan makadish. And other Rishonim say, no, that in the realm of gittin, maybe it's halacha moshe mesinai. That in the realm of kinyanim, that you're going to be kona something in dinim mominis, that's taka takana socham. The fact that it's considered to be biyada for the purposes of gittin, maybe that works even on a level of the araisa. How would one understand that? Doesn't make any sense. If the Torah accepts the principle of a yado shaladam, so if it works for gittin, why should it work for mominis? Mamanashach. So maybe you can understand those Rishonim based on a word from the Ktzos. The Ktzos comments on the Pasuk Chumash, Nasan biyada. So the Torah says that you have to give a get to one's wife. The Ktzos raises the Chakira, the Lomdash of Chakira. is the din that you have to give the get? It's a requirement of a maisa nesina, or is it a requirement of haknas again? Is venos to be other just a fancy way of saying you have to be machtin the get? The woman has to walk away with ownership of the get in terms of dinim mamonis in order for the get to be chal. So the Ketzai says that everybody who learned Masechet Gittin will realize that it's not a din, not everybody realized it, but anyone who else would learn Masechet Gittin like the Ketzai would realize that it's not a din of haknas again. There's no requirement to sell the piece of paper to the woman. The woman could walk away from the get without technically owning the get in terms of dinim mamonis, and she's still divorced. Why? Because venasa miyad ksiv. Because it's a din of sin, it's not a din of haknas. The Ketzai says, raya, is the Gemara says in Masechet Gittin Daf Chaf that you can write a get on Isuri Hanoah. You can write a get on something which is also Banoah. You can write it on a pizza pie, on a Pesach, whatever, and hand it over to the woman, and she's Mugureshes. So the Ketzel says, how could that be? We know that you can't be Machne a Dover Asa Banoah. You can't transfer ownership on a Dover Asa Banoah. So how could the Nesina say, get Bichal? So the Ketzel says, you see from here, this is not a Din of Akanah, it's a Din of Nesina. It's nothing to do with Hilchos Dini Mamanah, it's nothing to do with Chashem Mishpah. So that's the case that I understand what the Rishonim was saying in Masechet Gittin, that Kinyan Da'al Ramas is not a Kinyan in Halacha, but it's a Nesina. Means that the Torah considers that to be, I gave it to you. It's within your Da'al Ramas, it's close enough. That's okay. But to say that it's called Hakanah in a Torah, that's not true. And the Rabbanu, they were Misak, and it's also called Hakanah. People shouldn't fight in terms of Avedas. But a couple of them, that I slice it, there is a Kinyan Da'al Ramas out there, the favorite Sugya. In the first parak of Masechet Bava Metzia. So the Gemara raises the following question. What would it then be if a person sees a Metzia and they're walking over to the Metzia and they're standing within the Dalamas of the Metzia, but they never learned the Sugya in the first parak of Bava Metzia. They didn't get that far in Yeshiva. They only got to Davav and then they stopped. So they don't realize that there's a kidney of Dalamas. They think, how are you kind of Metzia? By falling on the Metzia, tackling the Metzia. You fall on the Metzia. So they think that's the way you acquire something that's Hefker. So that's what they do. So they walk over to the Metzia, the wooden down hammers, and then they fall on it. They didn't pick it up, they fall on it. So the Gemara says they weren't kind of the Metzia. Why? Falling on something is not a Maisa Kinyan. If they would have picked up the Metzia, then they would have been kind of the Metzia. But they fell on the Metzia. So falling on a Metzia is not considered to be a Maisa Kinyan. Aye, but they were within Da'al Hamas. So the Gemara says, no, being within Da'al Hamas of something is only a Kinyan if the person wanted it to be a Kinyan. So if the person wasn't interested in it being a Kinyan, then he wasn't kind of the object. So how do you understand that halacha? The mice, he did a Kinyan. The bottom line is, he was within Da'al Hamas of the Chayfetz. He was within Da'al Hamas of something. The fact that he didn't have in mind, he didn't know, he wasn't aware. The fact that he wanted, that he showed that he wants to be kind of with Nefila, which doesn't work, why should that detract from the Maisa Kinyan? If the Maisa, he did a Maisa Kinyan. So there's a Machlekes Rishonim. We spoke a little bit about this in the Kolobokra a couple of Shirim ago. There's a Machlekes Rishonim how to understand that Gemara. So some Rishonim say that this is only by Kinyan of the Rabbanan. This is a special part by Kinyan of the Rabbanan, because Kinyan of the Rabbanan, the Chamonim, the Sakin, for those people who want to avail themselves of those Kinyan. If you indicate that you don't want the Kinyan, Kinyan's not going to work for you. It's not a Din Deraisa. And other Rishonim say, no, it's a Din Deraisa. Why is it a Din Deraisa? Because it's like Ode Mirchsi Ager, Shalahu. It's like a person who is plowing the field, who's working on the field, digging holes in the field of the Ger, and he thinks that it's his field. He doesn't realize that he's doing a Maisa Kinyan. So just as the Gemara says in Yevamos that you have to be aware that you're doing a Maisa Kinyan in order for it to be Chal, so to Mav Metzia, you have to be aware that you're doing a Maisa Kinyan for it to be Chal. So the other Rishonim say there's a tremendous leap of faith between the two cases. In the case of Ode Benichse Hager, the guy doesn't want to be Kaina Bechlau. He doesn't even know that he could be Kaina. He's not planning on being Kaina. Whereas in the case of Bav Metzia, he wants to be Kaina. He just doesn't want to be Kaina without Maisa Kinyan. That's a tremendous difference. So in a case where I do a Maisa Kinyan and I have no clue what's going on, I don't want to be Kaina, I'm not interested in being Kaina, I don't know what the object is, I don't care, I know nothing. So it's Tachan Ay Kaina, that's a Din Min HaTorah. That a Maisa Kinyan is not enough. You have to have Das Kinyan. All Chalosim have to have Das. There's Das Kedushin, and there's Das Gerishin, and there's Das Nadarim, and there's Das Hektish, and there's Das Kinyanim. So it's the ABCs of Kinyanim. You have to be aware of what's going on in order to be Kona something. But in the case of Bav Metzia, the guy wants to be Kona. He just wants to be Kona with falling on it. He's mistaken in the method. He never learned Chesh Mishpat. So he doesn't realize that falling on something isn't the Kinyan. So for sure that's good. That's not a Chishar and Das Kinyan. That's what Hefter Rishonim say. That's a Din Derabanan. By Kinyanim Derabanan, that's a quirk. That's the exception to the rule. So the bottom line is, everybody agrees there's a requirement of Das Kinyan. Everybody agrees that if a Kona goes through the actions and has no intent to be Kona, he is not Kona. The question is, if he goes through the actions, has in mind to be kohen differently, and then ends up doing the wrong kinyan, is that called the das kinyan or not? That's the machlokes of Rishon in the Rashba and the Ran, in the beginning of Bava Metzia. But kuliyavu lepligi, that if a person picks up something and has no idea what's going on, not interested in being kohen, thinks it is, then for sure he's not going to be kohen. So come to Rishonim in the second parak of Gittin and start to qualify this Gemara. This Gemara Maseches Yevamos, it says that when a person is oydeh b'nichsi ager and he thinks that it's his property, so he's not kohen. He's chosun the das kinyan. So comes the Rashba, the second parak of Gittin, and quotes from the Ravid, the Rishonim quoted by the Bas, and also a similar idea and a different sugya there, that this principle doesn't apply all the time. V'medivar mamurim, a person goes to a ma'aseh kinyan without das, he's not kohen. That's if he wants to be kohen in a hefker. If he wants to acquire something which doesn't have an owner in the first place, like the case of the Gemara, it's oydeh b'nichsi ager. Nichsi ager is by definition hefker. But what if it's a question of mekech or memke? What if it's a question of matona? What if I want to give you something and I'm handing it over to you? I'm being mocked by something to you, and you go ahead and you do a ma'aseh kinyan, but you don't know what's flying. You didn't chap. You didn't understand. I know what's going on. It's my land, and I'm giving you the land. You think that it's yours. You don't realize that you're acquiring something, and you go through the actions. You went through the motions. You didn't ask kinyan, but your mind was somewhere else. So come to Rishon Medayek from a sugya in the second breath of Gittin that would work. That the medivam amurim that das kinyan is required. That's when you are being kohen in a hefker. But if you're being kohen from somebody else, so that's okay. That's acceptable. What is that called? So that's what the Rishonim coined the phrase. The Gemara has the phrase in a little bit of a different context. But the Rishonim coined the phrase das acheres machno. So when you have another das, when you have a das of the mocher, so the das of mocher somehow is going to be good enough. The das mocher can supply the das in order for the kinyan to take place. So again, it's not a befeirish Gemara; it's a diuk from two sugyas. But this is a cloud that the Rishonim developed. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch that the requirement of das kinyan for the kohen is only true when there's no machne. Even when there's a machne, then it's going to be acceptable. So how do you understand this halacha? It's strange than the mamshach. If the Torah says that kinyanim require das, those are the ABCs of kinyanim, you don't need a pasuk to that. It's a double pasuk. How can you do anything without das? You can't be makadosh shenish without das. You can't be magarish without das. You can't be makdish without das. You can't take a neder without das. You can't do any chalos, any kim, mafish truma, maize. Nothing can ever be done without das. So if you hold that this is a din of kol terakula that permeates all of halacha, that you require das to affect any halachic change, then how do we understand this difference? How come when I'm zoichem in a hefker, I require das? And when I'm zoichem from you, somehow, focus, focus, I don't require das. What kind of halacha is that? So the Ketzais quotes two different possibilities how to understand this halacha that the Rishonim were medayik from the Gemara in Gittin and the Gemara in Bava Basra. So the Ketzais quotes a group of earlier Achvarim who said that this touches on a sugya that we spoke about for the last couple of weeks. This is based on Zochem the Adar Shlomo Bafanov, as we spoke about in great detail. There's a din min haTorah derived from Sukkim that I can do something on someone else's behalf without that person even being aware of it, as long as it's something that's beneficial. So when we speak about Zoch and the other Shabbafanov, we always spoke about examples when, say, I want to give a gift to Reuven, so Reuven's not around, so I give it to Shimon, and I say, Shimon, pick this up on behalf of Reuven. That's the classic application of Das Ches Machna. So, but the Das is being done for the Maisa, the Das is being done in the Maisa Kinyan. But comes to Tzelson and says, in theory, you can have Das in a little bit of a different way. What if I don't require das on the Maisa Kinyan, but I do require das on the das. I do require zochin on the das Kinyan. What if I want to do as follows? I want to give you something, and you're around. You're physically around, so you can go ahead and do the Maisa Kinyan. But for whatever reason, you can't supply the das Kinyan. So comes a tells quotes from earlier Acharonim. So in theory, we could say zochin liyadam shlomo funov on das also. You don't only say zochin liyadam shlomo funov on Maisim. You could say zochin liyadam shlomo funov on das. So when we spoke about the sugya of Ger Kotlan, we saw that Tosfos in Sanhedrin writes, that's how every Ger Kotlan works, because Ger Kotlan, you don't need Zochin on the Maisa. The kids in the mikvah, the kids at the Bris Milah, the child himself goes to the Maisa Geiris, but the problem is you need a Zochin on the Das Geiris. So that's already a whole discussion, we spoke about that. So to over here, the group of Acharonim say that if I want to give you a gift, I want to say something, I want to give you something, so that's something that's beneficial to you. So you go through the Maisa Kinyan, but you don't know what's flying, you don't understand, you don't chap, you're not paying attention. Where's the Das Kinyan? So some Acharonim say, I'm supplying the Das Kinyan. I as the mocher am doing the das kinyan on your behalf. I'm hinini mucham zum, and I'm doing the zochel and shalom fun of on your behalf. That's a very, very b'chudish dika application of how to make a kinyan. Usually, you make a kinyan, I give you the object, you know what's going on, you accept it, you're the maisi, you're the das, you're the kohen, you're the lekech, everything rolled into one. Here, we're going with a very fine line. We're cutting up this kinyan. The maisi kinyan is being done by the kohen. The das kinyan is being supplied by the makneh on behalf of the kohen. But it's invoking the principle of zachal gadim shal b'fanim. So the Achronim made up this idea, but they didn't really make it up. The Rambam sounds this way a little bit. The Rambam sounds that that's how this works. It works based on Zachal Adam Shalom B'Fanav. So the Ketels disagrees. The Ketels says he doesn't believe that it's true. He doesn't believe this is the correct application of Zachal Adam Shalom B'Fanav. The Ketels argues that this halacha works in a totally different way. Says the Ketels, when you have a kinyan, so das has to be supplied. So I'm very careful the way I just said that. Das has to be supplied. There is no halacha that both parties have to supply the das. The din is that a kinyan can take place without somebody understanding what's going on. Who supplies the das of kinyanim? So if I would ask you, who's the more important das in a kinyan? The makna or the kona? So the answer should be obvious. The makna is more important. The makna is the one who's losing. I'm selling my car. If I have das, that's a kinyan. If I don't have das, that's called geneva. So obviously the makna is more important. So when you have a makneh, when there's a meicha who's present, so then the halach of das kicks in. So the makneh is the one who signs on the dotted line. He's the one who provides the halachic das, and once the halachic das has been provided, that's sufficient, and the kinyan can take place. In the absence of a makneh, it's going to be very hard to supply das. There's only one person we can call upon to supply das. There is no makneh. There's only a kinyan. There's only a zeicha. So Sezik says that's what's going on. When you have a das kers makna, so it's not pshat that you need das kinyan, but the makna supplying the das. There's no such halacha. The halacha is that das kinyan is required. The kinyan itself, the acquisition itself, requires das. Either one of the parties can supply the das. I mean, it's a joke. Obviously, the makna has to supply it. Without his das, there's nothing to talk about. So when you have a makna present, the makna is yaitzias. He's maitzias. He supplies the das. And then there's no need for das kinyan. Whereas in the absence of a makna, there is no makna. It's a sadeh shel hefker. It's nixi agir shemei svein lo yoshim. It's a mitziyah. There is no machne. Then v'sheitzik, of course, you're going to require das, and the only person that we can call upon to supply that das is going to be the kohen. So when all the dust settles, bein lefi the ktzais, bein lefi the early achronim, you end up in the exact same place. The end point is very simple. That when you have a machne, you don't need das kohen. When you don't have a machne, you do need das kohen. The machlekes, the ktzais, and the early achronim is a very conceptual machlekes. How to understand this din, that in the presence of a machne, you don't need das kohen. Do you say that it's based on zachal gadim shel b'fanav? Or do you say, no, it's nothing to do with zachal gadim shel b'fanav. It's based on just the non-existent requirement for das kohen in the presence of a das machne. That's very lomdish shayla, it's very academic shayla,
ma'af kuna. It's like in a situation, let's say, where you give the rabbi's car example, I don't know if you drive, but let's say it's worth $10,000, and a guy's offering $20,000. So if you say there, that's partial that the guy. So once you have, if you have das of the kona, and you see it's a deal that's definitely favoring the machne. So why wouldn't you be able to say that the das is applied there? And not without even zochin that it should work. If you're just saying you need das in the, you just need a generic das.
No, but you always need that generic das must always be supplied by the machne, even if the machne is getting a good deal. Yeah, no, that's not right. It's still called Geneva. There's a whole sugya in the Gemara battle. Let's say I go over to someone and I take money and I throw the money in his face and I take the car away and he taka doesn't want to. So that may still be called Geneva. That's a question. Chamsa, Nagana, Vagazlan, that's the whole Lusachma, the whole sugya.
That's usually
what I'm assuming. The mice, I'm not kind of. If I give you money and you don't say roadside, the mice, you're not, probably not going to be kind of.
Really, you need das machne. It's not really saying that you need a das
Okay. So, my life, Kamina, very umdashim machlekes, whether you need das kaina, but zach lam shalom fana provides it, whether you don't need it altogether, who cares? So the Ketzai says, who cares? A big enough Kamina ladina. So So he says the following, quotes the following shayla. We mentioned this in the past. There was a practice in Europe for many, many years that when a person had an animal, so they wanted to make sure that the animal wouldn't give birth to a firstborn, which would have kedushas b'chor. So the halacha tells us, in the beginning of Sefer Becheres, you can sell part of the animal to a goy, as long as part of the animal was sold before the baby was born, so then that's not called b'yisrael, that's not called completely a Jewish animal, and therefore there wouldn't be a requirement of kedushas b'chor. So that's been the practice, mamash, centuries already, to sell part of the animal to a goy. So the Acharonim raise a question, when you pick a goy who you're going to sell the animal to, does the goy really understand what's going on? You find some guy, some farmer out in the field somewhere, and you say, okay, quickly, let's make a kinyan. No, you give me money, make a kinyan chalipin, make a something, make a kinyan, chick-chock, to make sure that you become the owner of the animal. Come on, does the guy really know what's flying? So come a group of Acharonim and raise a red flag. Come a group of Acharonim and say, wait a second. They said, how does this work? If the guy doesn't understand what's going on, the kind of doesn't, he thinks the rabbi is just playing a game with him. He doesn't understand that he really owns the ear of the animal. He's really kind of chashimish, but he can really take the guy to court and walk away from the small piece of the animal. He doesn't understand what's going on. So the Acharonim raised the question, how does that kinyan work? Why isn't that considered to be like Oda Benichse Ager? Because a person does a Maisa kinyan, he took my money. He gives me the money. Make a kinyan chalipa, whatever it is. He went through the actions. But he doesn't understand what's going on. How in the world does that work? So that's our chiyuv. So some of the Acharonim started to say, well, no, not so simple. Older benichse ager chasav shalohu doesn't work because there's no das machne. But here there is a das machne. Here the Jew is the das machne. The Jew knows what's going on because the rabbi told the Jew, you better have in mind to be machne. So when the Jew knows what's going on, he's being machne. Even though the guy doesn't know what's flying, maybe that should be good. So came a whole group of Acharonim and said, no, it's not going to work. Why? Because that halacha that you can rely on das machne, you don't really need das kona, is predicated on zoch and liyadam shalom b'fanov, because it's not that you don't need das kona. You do need das kona. It's just that the machne is being zoch and das kona on behalf of the kona. So say the Acharonim, that's true when you're dealing with two Jews. But when you're dealing with a Jew on behalf of a goy, then we run into a problem that we spoke about in the list, the sugya. There's no zechiyah for goyim, the Ferish and the Gemara. There's no zechiyah for goyim. Either zechiyah is mitam shlich, it's not mitam shlich. Whoever you size up zechiyah, the Ferish and the Gemara about Metziah, that ain't zochen for a goy. So if that's the case, then we have a serious problem when we sell the animal to the goyim. The goy doesn't know it's flying, so he needs das koyde. The only way for us to circumvent das koyde is based on zochen amishal b'fanov. Zochen amishal b'fanov only works between Jews, doesn't work for goyim. So that's what a whole group of Acharonim came up with a chumra and said that you got to be really, really careful when you sell an animal to a goy to make sure to explain to the goy exactly what's going on. He really, really chops. Otherwise, you're going to run into a serious problem that it's not going to be his animal, then you're going to have a bechor in your hands. So the Ketzos quotes these Acharonim and says that he doesn't think that they're correct. He says, according to those Acharonim who were Magde, who defined the lack of requirement of Das Kona is based on Zochin, so they were right. They go, it's not going to work. But says the Ketzos, but if I'm right, that it's not based on Zochin. It's based on the fact that you don't need Das Kona altogether. So might have community whether you need it for a Goy, for a Jew, it's all the same. So as long as you have Das Machna, the Das Machna is providing the Das Kinyan. The Goy doesn't know what's flying, he doesn't realize that he's acquiring something, it's still okay, because you don't need Zochin, I'm sure fun, and it's going to work just as well for a Goy. So this Machlokes in the Ketzos and earlier Poskim now spills over for us, of course, in the realm of Mechiras Chametz. We said already many times, whatever the Rishonim said about Mechiras Bechor, the Acharonim said about Mechiras Chametz. Mechiras Chametz, the Rishonim don't talk about Mechiras Chametz, because it didn't exist. Nobody ever sold Chametz. The Tesef, the Pesachim writes that if a person's stuck on a boat somewhere and you realize you have Chametz and you can't get rid of it, so the Tesef says, all right, so find the guy in the boat and be make a nice kinyan, make a kinyan with him to sell him all the Chametz. So the Tesef sounds like in the days of the Tanoim, it was once in 20 years someone had to go do a Mechiras Chametz. Then the days of Rishon, nobody even did Mechiras Chametz. The days of the 1600, whatever it was, so the Jews were starting to deal in schnapps. That's how it all started. And there were schnapps and other commodities of Chametz. So then it started to become a Hefsim Meruba. So then the Acharonim came up with this whole razzle-dazzle idea based on the Tesefta, you could do a Mechiras Chametz. So where did they model the Lefta? How did they figure out what to do? How to make a Kenya? Everything was just borrowed from Mechiras Bechor. Mechiras Behema for Bechor had been done for hundreds of years, right? positive years they had been selling animals to goyim to get out of conditions b'chor. So the Rishonim had already developed all the protocol, all the principles of how to sell things to goyim, and Kirin Chotzes and Agav, we spoke about, and Kirin Mos and Mashiach, everything had been worked out already hundreds of years before, and for the purposes of Mechiris b'chor, was just borrowed over to Uchus Mechiris Chometz. What happened? Like very often things happen. Mechiris b'chor nobody knows about anymore. Most people don't have animals anymore, except for the Weil and Sons, the one Mechiris b'chor that we once did in YU many, many years ago, for Rabbi Weil's father's farm. So I was present at that Mechiris b'chor Behemet Torah issue. They had, as you know, Rabbi Weil, he was my roommate at the time. We first came to YU back in 1982, so we were in Rabbi Willick's year together. So some sugya came up about b'chor. So Rabbi Willick was explaining to us, when a person is a farmer, has animals, you have to sell the b'chor. So he raised the hand and says, my father owns a farm. So upstate New York, so they arranged the Mechiras B'chor. It was at the time Rabbi Alpert, Zatzal, and Chaim Mechai, Rabbi Shechter, were the ones that supervised the shtar for Mechiras B'chor, not your average everyday shtar, it's out of the RCA manual. So they put together the old-fashioned shtar of Mechiras B'chor with Torah, and so be it. So come the later folks, came the last couple hundred years, and said the same way that some achronim were machpid, that if the goy doesn't understand what's going on, the whole mechiras b'chor is up the creek. So too, when you sell chometz, you should try to be careful that the goy knows what's going on. And the ktzais argued it's not true. There never was a requirement for mechiras b'chor that the goy knows what's going on, and we couldn't care less whether the goy knows what's going on for mechiras chometz as well. So different opinions in the later post. And that's one of the reasons why when we sell chometz, why we try to make sure that the goy does know what's going on. We want to be chayshish for the earlier poskim that maybe this would be a problem. So therefore, we sell chometz to a goy who understands what's going on. There were many rabbanim who used to not be so machpid about this, but they would sell to the super, to the neighbor. The guy half the time didn't know what was flying. But they were relying on the ktzai. So we tried the chachima to sell it. That's what we sell in part of the river there, Rabbi Willig's mechir to Mr. Brown. So Mr. Brown knows exactly what's going on. He knows mechir's chomet so well. He gave a shir. One time he came to Wife and said a shir. He said a shir on Hilchus mechir's chomet from the vantage point of the Goy. That was the title of the shir, something like that. So he's on video, doesn't want to see him. He's already done mechir's chomet. It's online, it's on Wife Torah already, the whole thing from beginning to end. Okay, let's get back to the story. So the bottom line is there is such a principle called Ta'asa Cheres Machna. So that principle exists, whether it's based on Zochen or based on the non-requirement of Das Kona, and the principle of Machna is up for grabs. This distinction between when the existence of Das Cheres Machna and the absence of Das Cheres Machna plays out in another related area where we've been speaking up today about not having Das. You cannot have das for one of two reasons. You cannot have das because you don't know what's flying. You cannot have das because halachically you don't have das. So as we spoke about in the previous shiurim, a katan automatically is considered to be a labar das. Even though he's 12 and a half years old and he seems to be very smart, it doesn't matter. Till the day of his bar mitzvah, he's considered halachically to be a labar das. So when a katan does a kinyan, it's a maisa kinyan without das kinyan. So what would the din be? Let's say if a katan finds a lost object. The katan's walking on the street, he picks up a lost object, and he picks it up, and he's having in mind, quote unquote, to be kinyan, but if he halacha, that das doesn't mean anything. So what's the din? So the Mishnah says in Maseches Gittin in the fifth parak, that Metzias Cherishet V'Katan Ein Bem Elev Bnei Dar Kishalom. That Min HaTorah, if he finds something, it doesn't belong to him because he doesn't have Das Kinyan. So it's like a gadol who doesn't know what's flying. So a katan who picks up a lost object, it doesn't belong to him Min HaTorah. Mid the Rabbanon, it belongs to him. They didn't want that people are gonna go and take the thing away from the kid. He's gonna throw a fit. He's gonna tell his father. He's gonna get the fight with me. Mid Dar Kishalom, the kid picked it up already. So Zan, let him have it already. But basically, a katan doesn't have the ability to make a kinyan. So come a group of Rishonim and say, "Bamed v'mamurim that a katan can make a kinyan." That's if the katan picks it up as a metziah, as an aveda. But if I give it to him as a present, so then das ches machna so works. The same way that ode b'nechzi ager chesav shalom doesn't work. But if I give it to him and he's doing the ma'aseh kinyan, albeit without das, it does work. So by a katan, the same is true. The das ches machna so will create the ability for a katan to be kinyan and something on the level of their aisha. So we just had this discussion with one of my kids the other day, when my wife gave them something, bought them a present or something, and then I won't say which child, I took it away because they weren't behaving with it appropriately, so I took it away for a little while. So my son happens to be lucky, I gave it to him. My son happens to be under bar mitzvah. I only have one kid, one son under bar mitzvah. So my son under bar mitzvah, so he happens to be learning Pashas Mishpatim this year, and he's learning about Ki Yignav Ish Yor Oseh, he's learning all the din with Genev and Shemachinam and Titus God and everything. So he said to me, Abba, he said, you know, I mean, he said it, I can't say he said it respectfully, but he said it more respectfully than I'm saying. He said, Abba, you're a Ganav. He said, you stole it. I said, Ima gave it to me, it's fine, and you took it away. I said, that's what it says in Pashas Mishpatim, you're not allowed to do. That's a good title. So I didn't want to say it. Depends on this machlokes every shalom. I said it depends. If you hold that you give something to a katan, so the katan owns it, so then he owns it min haTorah. So takam ganav midaraisa. If you hold that you give it to a katan, it's like a katan picking it up. So it's only v'edak yishol. So only a ganav midarabanan. So I didn't explain that whole lumdus to him. So I tried a different route. I said to him, I said, you're right. It belongs to you. Someone's allowed to take it away. But I said, but part of the mitzvah that a parent has, a parent is allowed to be mechanech a child, and a parent is part of being mechanech a child. So a parent has the ability to do certain things that normally you wouldn't be able to do. Then on the chaveiro, I didn't want to give him the marshal of a parent, you know, maybe makib. No, I didn't want to, you know, talk about that. But just at, I mean, the marshal is correct. Just as if you hit somebody, so you're hitting somebody, and they say, there, I hit somebody. So how come a person in theory is under the proper circumstances? No one should quote me or misquote me. So I already discussed this in Mishpatim with him because we just did the Rashi before about the Shlech Bezin who killed somebody by mistake. So he's potter from Golos because it wasn't, you know, he's potter from Misa. It wasn't really his fault. He's a local mitzvah. So Rashi gives the example of Ava Machis Beno. So he didn't like that example too much. So it's not so relevant, Baruch Hashem. I tried to explain to him that just as a parent is allowed to do certain other things which would normally not be acceptable in Amlach Aveiro, but the Torah gives the parent the responsibility to do it, but Torah's Chinuch, so then your parent is allowed to take things away from a child if the doing so is for a constructive, positive purpose, but Torah's Chinuch. So I think that would also be, it's not going to be any more Chomer than Makas Beno. So he didn't like that at all. He didn't like the Moshe, he didn't like the Nimshel, he didn't like the whole story. So, but whatever. It's an interesting Chesh Mishpat discussion. Baruch Hashem, all's well that ends well. He earned it back again, and now he's got it. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So the din is that many of the Rishonim write that if I give something to a child, my child, someone else's child, doesn't matter, if I give something to a child, so he is koneh it. How is he koneh? He's lav das. So he's koneh it based on the mechanism of das acheres machna. So does this work on a level of the araisa? So that's two days in Taisus. Taisus and Sanhedrin quotes two days about whether this actually works on a level of the araisa or not. So the most famous application of the sugya, as I said correctly, is the sugya Maseches Sukkah. The Gemara has a very cryptic statement in Maseches Sukkah, and the Gemara says that on the first day of Sukkot, a father has to be very careful that he shouldn't give his Lulav Esrog to his child before he shakes it. Why? Because if he gives it to his child, so the child is going to be koneh, and the child won't be able to be makneh it back to the father. And it has to be lachem. Then is, yeah, you can't be yotzei min haTorah if it's not lachem. So the Gemara says on the first day of Sukkot, be careful not to give it to the child before you do it yourself. The implication is that after you did it yourself, then you can give it to the child. The only problem is, the Gemara was talking about in Eretz Yisrael, where it only had to be lachem for the first day. In Chutz La'aretz, it has to be lachem for the second day also. So it's a problem. So you can, what do you do in the first day? So that's a whole problem. What do you do? Maybe you have to buy a kid's own lulav. Maybe you don't have to sell them. That's already a lulav shayla. But in terms of Chashem Mishpat, the Gemara says, make sure not to give it to the child, because if you give it to the child, he won't be able to be makneh back to you. So the Ran quotes a machlokes. What do you mean? He's going to be kind and he won't be able to makneh it back to you. What level of kinyan is this katan going to have? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, the Feirush, once a child reaches the age of peutos, he reaches the age of 6, 7, 8 years old, he knows a little bit what's going on. He understands you go to a store, you buy, give money, you get baseball cards, he understands a little bit of Mecha Chememker. So mid the Rabbanon, he's kona mid the Rabbanon, he can affect kinyana mid the Rabbanon, he can buy and sell things. So comes the Ran and says, according to one opinion, the child that we're talking about is under the age of peutos. It's a little kid, 4-year-old kid. So he's not kona even mid the Rabbanon. So I'm sorry, he's not going to be able to be makneh it back to you even mid the Rabbanon. So that's going to be a problem. He's going to get it, and he won't be able to be makneh it back to you. And the Ran quotes a second opinion and says, no, that even if the child is over the age of peutos, he's 12 and a half years old, it's still going to be a problem. Why? He can be makneh it back to you, but he can't be makneh it back to you mid the Raisa. Peutos is only a takonas lachamim, but when you give it to him, he's going to be koneh it min haTorah. Based on what? What's he going to be koneh it min haTorah? Based on what din? So the Ran says, based on Tasecheres Machnoso. That's exactly what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara means. Within this Gemara, the Gemara is referring to the din of Tasecheres Machnoso, that I'm going to give it to the child, and the child's going to be Konet Midaraisa, based on Tasecheres Machnoso, and now he's going to try to give it back to me. He doesn't have the ability to do that. Midarabanan, he can give it back to me, because he's over Peutos, he's over 6 or 7, but Midaraisa, he can't, because he doesn't have Das Machna. So according to the Ran, that's exactly what's going on in this Gemara, with the one opinion in the Ran. That's the soul of this Gemara, that Das Chas Machnasa works on the love of the Araisa vis-a-vis a Kotin. So when all the dust settles, everybody agrees that there is some kind of a difference between when somebody does a Kinyan by themselves, in contrast to when I'm helping you out, when I'm giving something, I'm giving you a Matan, I'm being Machna something to you. It has nafkaminas both in terms of if the Kona doesn't know what's going on, like the Oda Mechsi Ager, or in the case where the Kotin is under Bar Mitzvah, like the Katan in Masechah Sukkah Lagabi the Lulav. How to understand conceptually what's going on? Why? How do we magda this distinction? Why is it that sometimes you require Das Kinyan, sometimes you don't require Das Kinyan? So you have radically different approaches. You have the approach of the earlier Achram that the Tzelser rejects, that of course you need Das Kinyan. You always need Das Kinyan. It's just that the magda can supply it based on Zachlan Shalom Fanov. Or you go to the root of the Ketzelser, no, but you don't need Das Kona. All you need is Das Machna. The only time you need Das Kona is in a situation where there is no one Machna. So Nafkamina Ladina is going to be, in the case of a Goy, the case where if the first group of Achronim are right, that you require Das Kona, it's just that Zach Lemesh Bufanov is going to is going to help you, so that's only going to help you if the person who you're doing it on behalf of is Shayach and Pasha and Sechia, unlike a Goy, whereas if you go the second route of the Ketzels, then there never was such a requirement, and therefore you'd be home free. So you have Chaps and Afkamini, Nochus Bechor, Chos Chom, but you have a few Afkamini tucked away here and there. But the basic fundamental question that the Tosafot were discussing is how to understand this distinction of the Rishonim. How come sometimes you require Das Kinyan, and sometimes you don't? Hopefully, Mitzvah next year. We'll try to discuss a little bit more about the Inyanim of Daskin and relate to other things. Maybe next week we'll have Chanukah. We'll see. We'll figure out. Maybe we'll have Kinyanim of Chanukah. We'll figure out something next week. Do something to Chanukah. That's right.